Good morning, everyone. Today I'll be doing the reading for this service, and we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 22 to chapter 2, verse 3. And it reads as follows. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as the newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. Let me just pray for David, who will be sharing the word of the Lord with us today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your servant David. Thank you for his heart to serve you, for his desire to serve you to the best of his ability. Father God, we pray that you'll continue to use him and bless him and his family in their service to you and to your people, your church. We pray that through him, Lord, you'll speak to your church today, that you'll bless us with your word, and that the words that come from you through him will be clear to all those who hear it. We pray in your glorious name. Amen.
Hello, everyone, again. So good to have you connecting with us. And I know a few of you have been finding you've had some difficulty with YouTube. Don't know what that's all about, but thank you for persevering with us. And today I want to talk about this theme of love. You know, the world needs more love. Everyone in the world wants it to be a more loving place, and we want to show more love. I wonder if you are trying to show love to some of those around you, maybe friends, neighbors, colleagues, and family. And perhaps as you're trying to do that, you're discovering it's hard. You know, I remember when I was younger discovering how hard it is sometimes to show love to people. When I was growing up, my parents used to love having people over and showing hospitality to others. But as kids, we weren't always so thrilled on the idea. It sometimes meant less food for us. We even had a little family acronym, FHB, family holdback, which meant you had to eat less as kids so that there was enough for the guests, which never really went down so well with us. And sometimes we were annoyed because people used to kind of pop over spontaneously and we'd have to stop what we were doing and to be welcoming to others. And to be honest, you know, we would sometimes be showing hospitality while secretly wishing we didn't have to. I wonder if you've ever done that. Well, my mum found a verse in the Bible which she got us learning. And actually, it was from later on in 1 Peter. And she found it in a translation called the J.B. Phillips translation, which in my kind of mum's generation was a kind of up-to-date translation of her time. And it said this, "Be hospitable to each other without secretly wishing you didn't have to be." That really captured it for us. And I've always remembered it. And actually, one of the things I would encourage you in these COVID days is don't underestimate the impact that hospitality can have. Just even having one other person round for a meal or a coffee can make a huge difference in these challenging COVID winter times. You know, we've been learning through this service some great ways to show and express love to others. Those love language are all brilliant, but do you know, in any of them, it is possible to do them while secretly wishing you didn't have to. And maybe particularly as we find love hard and difficult, we can easily go down that route of a kind of insincere love. But I want to talk this morning about sincere love, genuine love, truthful love. I want to talk about what it is and how we can recapture love, a deep and genuine love from our hearts for one another. And I want to start by talking about the need to take off our masks. I don't mean these kind of masks, which actually can be a very loving thing to do. I mean the kind of mask that we sometimes wear, pretending to be something we're not. You know, our passage starts like this in verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by believing the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. You know, this word sincere, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says this is the definition. It's free from pretense or deceit and proceeding from genuine feelings. And if you look on further down our passage, actually, Peter comes back to this theme of making sure that our love is sincere. He says, chapter 2, verse 1, look at it with me. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. These are hidden things in our heart that cause our love to be like fake love. They're actually poisonous to our social kind of relationships. And in fact, this word hypocrisy, or if you like, deceit, is when we kind of hide things. It's actually a word that was taken from the theaters of their time. It means people who've kind of put on a mask. And Peter's saying, no, you need to get rid of the mask, rid of the pretense, rid of the deceit. But I want to ask, you know, why do we put on masks? Why do we put a kind of a spin on our lives on social media? Why do we kind of doctor and filter the images and carefully choreograph them? You know, why do we fear being exposed as we really are? I wonder why you think. Well, I think one of the reasons is that we fear that if we really have people see us as we are, we kind of know that they'll see some stuff that's not good. You know, and when people see us as we really are, and we can then think, well, then they're not going to love us like we really are. And then it's kind of like, well, then it will be kind of game over for our kind of our reputation and our friendships, and you know, and actually the stakes can be pretty high when we do hide the truth and for it coming out. I was reminded as I was preparing this of a film when not just an individual but a massive chemical company in the US was turning local water near its plant toxic, and the people around the plant were all getting ill. Maybe you have seen this film, and then a lady, Erin Brockovich, comes and she kind of takes on the chemical plant company and tries to expose what they've done, and she actually ends up taking the chemical company to court, and she wins. But the chemical company fights so hard to try and stop the truth coming out. They try and keep it hidden. Why? Well, they know how damaging and costly the truth could be. And sure enough, it was for them. You know, the toxic water that they tried to hide actually damage families, communities, and it's the same with our toxic love. It does just the same. These kind of poisonous things that 2 verse 1 talks about, malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, they're like toxic parts of our relationships that just cause damage. But you know, this word sincere love is so beautiful and wonderful in contrast. It's so different. Do you remember how the second part of that definition for sincere is meaning proceeding from genuine feelings? And so, too, when you think about the word sincere and you look at its kind of roots, it comes from a Latin word meaning clean and pure. Clean, pure love flows from a clean, pure heart. So I want to ask you this morning, how is your heart? How is your heart this morning? You know, we watch Erin Brockovich and we kind of think, oh, we're like Erin. But, you know, actually, we're far more like the victims or like the chemical company. We're either those who are harming others or being harmed by others because we live in such a broken world. And we wear masks because we fear we're going to be exposed. We fear that, truth comes out about what we're really like and our families and our relationships. You know, we probably for good reason don't put them on Facebook, but actually the problem is we don't even talk about them sometimes to those nearest to us, some of our deepest struggles. You know, we don't talk about the addictions which have been so often increasing during lockdown and this tough COVID time, whether it's challenges we face with the internet or with alcohol or with bitterness. Why don't we do that? Because we fear that if the truth comes out about who we really are, we won't be loved. And so we hide. We put on masks, and wouldn't it be amazing, though, if we could put down the mask and know that we were loved really as who we are? Wouldn't it be wonderful if others didn't need to do that to us because we were going to love them genuinely, sincerely, from the heart, deeply, for who they are? So how do we get a heart right that loves like that? Well, to help us with that, this last love language of the five love languages is going to help us kind of unpack something of how we can see that heart change. So here's one last video on words of affirmation.
You might like to show love to someone through words of affirmation. Maybe you can send someone a note to remind them that you're thinking of them. Or maybe you tell a friend why you really appreciate them. Or maybe you hear something about someone and you let them know.
Your words are powerful. And if that is true of your words, how much more is that true of God's words? So I want to think secondly about how sincere love comes from hearts that have been changed by God's truth, by God's word. And I want to encourage you and I to put on the truth. Take off the mask, but then put on the truth. Receive the truth about what God says about us. In the end of verse 22, it says this. It says, love one another deeply from the heart. And then it goes on and says, So this is a clue to how to do that. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. This picture of being born again, it is such a helpful phrase. You know, sometimes it can be used negatively or dismissively, but it's a phrase that Jesus himself used to describe the total transformation of our lives that God's word is able to do in us. Jesus, in fact, said, you must be born again. We need a spiritual new birth. We need a heart transformation. We need like a heart transplant. And baptism, which we're going to have later on today, is all about that new birth. It is about that old life dying and a new life being raised up. It's about an old life being washed and cleansed away so that a new life can start. It's about discovering that you are loved for who you are. How is that possible? Well, how have those that Peter's writing to been born again? Well, they heard and believed a message about Jesus Christ. They heard the word of God, the truth about what God thinks about them, and it changed their lives. That's the same for those who've been baptized today. You know, God communicates in all those five languages. You know, he gives his time to us. He comes into our world. He gives us gifts. He's the God of the universe, and yet he serves us and helps us, and he touches our lives through his creation and through other people and by his Spirit. But it is particularly God's word that I want us to think about. You know, God's word has power that our words don't have. God spoke creation into existence, and Jesus speaks, and dead people are raised to new life. That's the power of Jesus' words. In fact, he speaks and restores those who thought they've struck out, like Peter in that video that Amanda showed us, who he thought he had three strikes and surely he was out. And yet Jesus comes and restores Peter. He comes and forgives Peter and reestablishes him, and he can do the same for you and I. you know, that last love language actually talks about words of affirmation. And I want you to look at verse 24 and see something here in God's word. It says this, verse 24, for all men are like grass, quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, all men are like grass and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the words of the Lord stand forever. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound to me much like words of affirmation. You know, how is that loving? Well, one of the amazing, helpful, and loving things that God's word does, like a double-edged sword, it kind of helps us see actually the real us. It kind of exposes what we're like. It, as it were, strips the mask of us, and it helps us see the need and the smallness and the weaknesses and even the sin in our lives. And that's why so often people don't like God's word, because it exposes what we're really like. But it doesn't just do that. God's word exposes our sin, but then it also shows that not just does our sin matter, but even more than our sin, we matter to God. You matter and I matter to God. You know, it is amazing how deep is the problem of sin and wickedness in our human hearts. And yet what God's word does, it unmasks that. In fact, the cross is one of the great places in scripture where the kind of humanity is unmasked, its brutality and the murderous nature and the betrayal and the way we can curse and mock even God. And it's Jesus hung there on the cross, the only perfect man who'd ever lived. And yet, as he hung there, he cried out, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. At our very worst, Christ dies for us and expresses his love for us. And amazingly, we are loved at our very worst so that we can be our very best. It is God's love for us shown on the cross that we hear and see about through his word that is a love even while we were still sinners. You know, God's word says, for God so loved the world in rebellion against him, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves you and loves me. When I was growing up, I learned a song. It says, God loves you when you're happy. He loves you when you're sad. He loves you when you're very good and even when you're bad. No matter what you look like, no matter what you do, God loves you and he will forever. God loves you and he loves me too. And then we used to go, yay, because that is amazing. That is amazing that I can really be loved for who I am, no matter what's going on. That yes, my sin matters, but I matter more. And God has shown that to me by dying for my sin and your sin on the cross. That is amazing. And it changes everything. It changes my heart. It frees me from trying to put on pretense, but to be able to be, to put on pretense, but to be able to be the real me and to be able to say, look, this is who I am. And yet God loves me and I love you too for who you are. And so we are able to be a church that's inspired to love like Jesus loves, to love with sincerity and genuinely and deeply from the heart. And to not just do that today, but tomorrow and the next day and next month and through even this tough winter, because God's word's not going to let us down. In fact, it is like milk and food that it nourishes and strengthens us. Do you see that in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 2? Just as God's word has brought this kind of new birth in us, it also sustains and strengthens us. It says, like newborn babies, verse 2, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. This is the amazing word of God that you can come back to time and again and taste the goodness of God in his word. That yes, he exposes our need and our sin, but he also says how much he loves you. It's a word that points above all else to Jesus Christ, the one who was the word made flesh, who came and dwelt amongst us, who showed that love for us, and who hasn't just died but rose again and is with you by his spirit even now. When we were praying this week as elders, one of our elders, Philip Duke, said one of the things he's been enjoying doing recently and feels we just need to keep doing more is just take time to soak in the love of God, to enjoy God's love for you, to maybe take a scripture and meditate on it. One of those verses maybe that Becca read out, and just to know that you are loved by God. Do you know you're loved by God? Well, pick up his word and read about it. Look at the cross and read about that, and come and discover God's love for you. Give him your rubbish. Be real with him. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his love. But then show that love to others. Are you showing that genuine, sincere love to others as your heart is changed? So as we end, I want to encourage you, show love. Recapture that love for others. Let's be genuine and sincere. Let's take off the masks. But let's daily then receive love from God. And I've got a verse that I found so helpful. It's Psalm 117, verse 2. It's actually in the Children's Bible. I have read this sometimes with my son and just been really blessed by it. This is what it says. You got it on the screen. It just says this: the Lord loves us very much. His truth, this truth that we put on, is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just want to pause. Meditate on that verse. Soak in God's love for a moment. Then I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. I've got a prayer here. You might just want to echo this prayer with me. I'd even encourage you, pray it out loud. It's just on your screen. Lord Jesus, I receive your love. I receive your word. I receive you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please transform my heart and help me by your Spirit to love others deeply from the heart. Amen.